this is the structure that's going to separate how much water flows up, you know, at time of flood, how much flows up the regular channel, how much goes into the diversion channel, and how much patiently waits behind the embankment. So you're right. It is kind of a parting of the sea.
Now, Red Sea, too, since it's the Red River. So it really, there's a
Red Sea. I'll tell you, okay, that's it. I'm using it today. I'm absolutely going to use it. I got to do it. Got
to
do it.
Talk about the significance of it, though. I think back to the 97 flood and how close Fargo came to a major flooding disaster, just like the Northern Valley did. And you had, of course, the famous 2009 event. And really, you know, in wet cycles, you get into battles where we come very close to the edge. And this was the preferred avenue to alleviate those flooding problems in the Southern Valley here. And, you know, there's been structures in Grand Forks. There have been structures in Wahpeton. But this is the mother of all flood control projects that you worked a long time on. Talk a little bit about the significance of getting this done.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm going to follow in your footsteps now. It ain't the Hoover Dam, but it's damn close. It's a big deal. This, for me, really goes back to 2009 flood. At that time, Governor Plenty and I held a press conference after Fargo had worked to fight the flood. The whole region, of course, had worked and defeated the flood once again. And we said, hey, this is crazy. We've got to get permanent flood protection for the region. So I've been at it for about 15 years and have passed, I think, 16 pieces of legislation regarding it. And so many have done so much work on it, as you know, local, state, federal, unique public-private partnership. Of course, never done this before, so it's historic. So we're not finished, but this really is kind of the heart of the project. Like we're talking about, this is the control structure that's going to direct where all the water goes. So it's a huge, huge milestone and, just a tribute, I think, to the people of this region who came together and figured out how to do what is the first of its kind public-private partnership project by the Corps of Engineers. And it's going to come in at a lot lower cost and a lot sooner because we've done it in this new innovative way.
Yeah, talk a little about that new innovative way. When you talk about a public-private partnership to one of the things that I learned through this is a lot of federal projects become more expensive over the life cycle of getting them authorized and built and everything else. You drag it out and you end up spending a lot more money. And by privatizing some of this, you were able to do it quicker. But, I know that wasn't an easy feat, as you mentioned, kind of first of its kind for this area. Just explain that. Am I describing it accurately?
Yeah, I mean, you pegged it right on 100%. That's the way it is. And we're going to finish this thing up probably by the end of the next year, which is much faster. And that's, of course, why we're able to do it for a lot less. Plus, because of the way we set this up, we locked in the cost. And since then, there's been, a lot of inflation. This thing would have been easily double in terms of the cost if we'd done it the regular way. And it would have taken much longer to do. And so think of the savings there that people are going to have in terms of their property taxes and flood insurance and all those kind of things because we did it this way. And the key is that we passed actually legislation that enabled the Corps to join with us. And then rather than doing the typical 60%, 40% project where 60% is the Corps, 40% is state and local, this is actually a different share. It's more like a third, a third, and a third. And so you think, oh, well, wait a minute, we didn't get our 60%. Well, we'd still be waiting. We'd still be waiting to get this thing started if we were going to wait for 60%. There's so many in the queue that haven't even seen the light. They haven't even started yet. And we're going to be done by the end of next year. And so by putting up a third at the local level, a third at the state level, and then we secured $750 million at the federal level, this is a $3.2 billion multi-state project that's going to protect more than a quarter of a million people today. And, in the not-too-distant future, that's going to be 500,000 or more because this is just a dynamic, growing region. And so that's why, this really is a model that I think the Corps and others around the country will look to get, these kind of major projects done.
You have Scott Turner coming. He is the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Secretary. He'll be in West Fargo today looking at affordable housing developments. Obviously, always great to get a Trump cabinet member here. Talk about what this box is being checked here for. What is the specific project he's going to see, and do you expect more of them?
Yeah, so I mean, it's great having the Trump cabinet coming out. We've got Scott Turner today, HUD secretary. We're going to talk about low income housing. We've got some great projects going on here in the greater Fargo, West Fargo metro that he's going to look at and talk about how we can do more. In the one big beautiful bill, we actually increased the low-income housing tax credits, which is probably the single most powerful tool you can have to build more affordable housing. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And then actually I'll have Rodney Scott, the commissioner of CBP, Customs and Border Protection, will be up in Grand Forks tomorrow. And then on Tuesday of next week, I'll have Tom Schultz, who's chief of the Forest Service, will be out in Dickinson. And so it's really great having a Trump administration where, you know, the top people will come out here into the heart of America and see what we're doing and figure out ways to help us do more.